This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. She wears a vintage secretary outfit, carries a typewriter, and roams the country asking people to tell her their messages for the president. Cheryl Oering is the creator of the I Wish to Say Performance Art Project. She's an art professor at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. The project engages people in a form of public discourse about things that matter. Just before the inauguration, she spoke with students at UNCG to hear what they would say to the incoming president, and Cheryl Oering joins us now on the State of Things. Welcome back, Cheryl.
Oh, thanks for having me, Frank.
I spoke with you right after the election about your new book, which is a collection of postcards to the president. You've been traveling, speaking with people around the country since then. What kind of conversations are you having?
Well, since the election, things are a little bit different, I must say, Frank. One thing I'm noticing is that people who are very critical of the new president are not always willing to sit down and talk to me. It's an interesting phenomenon. I think that maybe they're just slightly worried about offering too much criticism or something. Yeah, of course, some people do, but it is sometimes a little bit harder to get the critics to sit down and express themselves.
All right. And they're not all critics. There are those who approve and are very hopeful, I'm sure, as well.
Yes. Yes.
So you're getting that. So let's take a backtrack just a little bit and talk about the I Wish to Say project and how it works.
Okay. So I go around with a typewriter. This project actually started back in 2004, if you can believe it. And I'm dressed up in sort of 1960s era secretary office attire. And I invite people to sit down with me at a small table and to dictate a postcard to the president, which I type up, and I use carbon paper. So I actually keep a carbon copy of each of the messages that are typed up.
And what's the point? Why use a typewriter? Why there's a certain amount of theater involved in this? What's behind that?
Absolutely. I mean, the typewriter is such a conversation piece nowadays. It really draws people in. People are curious. And so it opens up a conversation in a really different way than if I were there with a laptop or something. I think it kind of breaks down barriers and brings a little fun to the discussion as well.
Well, it's interesting. You talk about a discussion and we think about dialogue and sort of opening up a conversation. In a way, you're asking for that most concise, apart from a tweet, I suppose, the postcard of compositions, right? I mean, this is something I want you to tell me and dictate. And yet it's a form of conversation. Tell us a little bit about that alchemy.
Well, I have to also say that a huge part of this project is listening, and the fact that when I'm there as the typist, I'm listening very intently to what the person is saying. And I think people also have a very emotional response to that. I have started attributing that to the way our society is so ruled by technology nowadays, that people are much more used to texting or emailing and sitting down with a person and actually having this kind of active listening experience is becoming a little bit rarer these days.
A few days before the inauguration, you started gathering recordings of students at UNCG about their feelings around the new president. He'd been elected, not yet inaugurated. So tell us about some of the bigger themes that emerged through those conversations, those interactions.
Well, I think one thing that was remarkable was how measured people's responses were, even from the students who were very critical. You know, that I think that there's something about this setup with the typewriter and with me as the listener that encourages people to formulate their thoughts very, very carefully. So there are there were a number of students who were activists throughout the election cycle. One of the students I spoke to actually went to the Women's March up in D.C. So, you know, there are people who are saying, you know, we don't believe in what you're saying. Of course, there are students who are quite religious at UNCG as well. I spoke with one student who was talking a lot about the role of religion and hoping that we would now have a nation under God, et cetera. So I think that is also an aspect of what's out there in North Carolina.
Was there anything, as you say, you've been doing this kind of thing since 2004, I wonder about this process so close to the inauguration in this kind of liminal period when he's not yet president, but very close to the inauguration. Anything unique in that experience for you in the way folks were responding?
Well, I will say for me, this was quite an amazing election. You know, there was so much amazing in the sense of sort of unprecedented in my life, you know, the type of vitriolic comments that were made during the course of the election campaign were really just something that we hadn't heard before. And so, and then, of course, to have a woman running for president. So there were quite a few historic things that were going on. And to sort of document that through the voices of the people and their response to that was quite amazing.
Well, let's listen to a few of those now. We'll start with the first one, and this is Robert.
A letter to President-elect Trump says, "Dear Mr. President, if that is your real name, I have struggled to find the words to say to express to you how your election has made me feel. I may be the only person in my family that feels this way, but Mr. Trump, we are not sheep. We are all beautifully made creatures, unique in our own diversities, and as such we should be treated as equally in respect and dignity, none of which I feel you have for anyone below you. I worry about the future of our country and stepping away from the progress that we've made, and pray to God that you somehow find a way. Don't send us back from where we came. Sincerely, Robert Rose."
Robert Rose, who participated in Cheryl Orring's I Wish to Say project just before the inauguration on the campus of UNCG. And again, you can hear the kind of, as you talked about, the kind of measured quality. I mean, was he reading that or was he actually dictating? How did that come to you?
So first he dictated the card, and then after he dictated it and I typed it up, I asked him if he would read it back for the recording. So that's how we got Robert's voice. Robert is quite an amazing student. He actually went with me last spring to New York when I did a really big version of I Wish to Say in Bryant Park, and was kind of a leader in the student participation of that trip. And has since been doing an internship in my studio and helping a lot with this project.
You talk to a lot of people, and there's a fair diversity of opinion on this. I'd like to go to Rachel's comment right now and listen to her.
"Dear President Trump, I just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you. I read an article recently saying that you accepted Christ as your Savior, and I'm praying that it's true. I truly believe that you want what's best for this country and that you do want to make it great again. Please make it a nation under God. We've strayed so far from the Christian values that our founding fathers believed in, and now more than ever, we need revival in our country. God has put you in this position for a reason, and I'm praying that you'll seek his will as you lead our nation for the next 4 years. I'm praying for you, President Trump. God bless."
That is Rachel, one of the voices from Cheryl Orring's I Wish to Say project. What kind of ratios were you getting in terms of support versus criticism of the president, would you say?
Well, on the UNCG campus, it was, I would say, overwhelmingly critical. It's a fairly liberal campus, and I was also, in this iteration of the show, mostly talking to art students. Mm. So there was that.
When you got support, and I know you've talked to others about this around the country, what do you hear, what do people, the religious context is certainly important. It was to Rachel. How important is that, and how much of the support comment revolves around religion?
Well, you know, there's and it's not a left or right kind of thing. There are definitely people on both sides of the political spectrum who may invoke religion or talk about blessings or talk about praying for the president. So it is maybe more in North Carolina something that would come up during my typing events, you know, in the messages that people would offer, maybe more so than in, say, New York, for sure.
What are the other messages of support that you're getting in general? Where are the themes that surround messages of support for President Trump?
Well, there were the last typing event that I did on a campus right after the election was up at the one of the colleges in Maine. It was a Catholic college called St. Joseph's, and the students there were talking, using his phraseology, a lot of them were talking about making America great again. You know, there are a number of people who are also looking at the immigration issue and who are happy with what Trump is saying on that. So, and jobs, I think people are hopeful that he'll do something good for the economy.
What about on the critical end of the spectrum? Was there much in the way of offering hope, saying, "Well, you know, I'm skeptical, but let's give you a chance"? That kind of a message.
Well, one of the students I spoke with, Cheryl Rowland, you know, he had quite a remarkable message. You know, he was basically saying, I've learned to listen to other people, and I hope that you will also listen to people in your, you know, making your decisions. And so I think that was a maybe slightly hopeful response. But, you know, then there are people, there's quite a bit of fear. Another one of the students that I spoke with was talking about the real fear within the Black community in what's going to happen and how African-Americans will be treated in the Trump administration.
Well, let's listen. You mentioned Cheryl Rowland just a second ago. Let's listen to his postcard.
Mr. Trump, I'm doing my jumpsuit project and being out in different communities, speaking with many individuals from different cultures and experiences. Usually in certain conversations, I go in assuming that I know or that I'm well informed already, only to be shocked that I have so much more to learn from others and their experiences. And I assume that since taking your position as president, I would suggest your first interaction with the many people you shall encounter is to listen first and not assume that you know or are more informed about experiences of theirs. And that's my advice. Best of luck, Cheryl Rowland.
Cheryl Rowland reading a postcard to the president, part of Cheryl Oering's project. I got the Cheryls mixed up for a minute, who's run this project. You know, much of, I mean, even for us here trying to put on the show and around the country, so much of our understanding of what's happening now and the reaction to it is mediated. You're actually talking to people, and I wonder what your sense of the reaction is and kind of where we are. I mean, it's a big question, but you can kind of tidy it up as much as you want. You're getting a much more on-the-ground sense of how people are reacting to this and how they envision our future. And I wonder, you know, if you had a summary of sort of how you're feeling about it, having talked to so many people in this context.
Well, what I am noticing, Frank, is that there are a lot of people who might have been a little bit critical or didn't exactly like Trump, but who didn't really get that involved with the election. And those people now are much more active. And one of the students that I spoke with, Julia Kasten, she also talked about how, I mean, this wasn't true. She was actually active during the election, but she was saying this was the first election that she'd actually been really active in. And she felt the need to become more active because of the way Donald Trump was talking about marginalized people. And she just felt like she couldn't stand still and not do anything. So I do think she's an example, and other people I've talked to around the country who said, you know, I didn't really get involved during the election, but now I'm not happy with how he's with some of the language and some of the policies and what's happening with some of the positions. So people are who maybe were not that active during the election campaign, I see getting a little bit more active now.
We talked about Julia, and we do have a recording of her postcard. Let's listen to Julia.
Dear Mr. President, on the day of your inauguration, I am participating in the Women's March on Washington. This march is for all of the women minorities, members of the LGBTQ community, and everybody else who has been marginalized by your campaign and your campaign supporters. Hopefully, there will be 200,000 people there to protest your inauguration. The fight isn't over, and we will resist. Signed, Julia Kasten, Greensboro, North Carolina.
So you've been doing these now for quite a while. The ones that we've sampled today, of course, from the UNCG campus. Is there a categorical difference when you walk off a campus and get responses from people and you're not on a campus? Can you feel the difference in terms of the kinds of postcards that you get?
Well, you know, kind of, it sort of depends where I am. I was in Reno, Nevada the other day, and there were a lot of people talking about environmental issues, and I didn't really have that many people at UNCG bringing up issues around the environment. So some of the topics people bring up can sometimes vary. I want to mention the last student I spoke to who I recorded with, Lauren, who had probably the most emotional response of all the students I spoke to.
I tell you what, do you want to hear that? We can hear that now. We do have Lauren's. If you'd
That'd
like
be
to.
Great.
All right, let's do it.
Dear Mr. Trump, the night that you were elected, I woke up and I ran to my dad and I was crying. I remember being scared about how the world would treat myself and my family now that you're in power. The morning after, the KKK was spotted not too far from my house. From that moment on, I realized that people saw myself as unequal and that my life didn't matter. I am scared for the next 4 years, how the Black community will be treated. I hope that you reflect on the word, on your words and the choices that you continue to make, and realize that everyone is equal and deserves to be respected. Do the right thing.
That is Lauren, one of the voices from Cheryl Orring's I Wish to Say project. Cheryl?
Yeah, I mean, you could just hear the emotion in her voice. And I think that there, she represents a large segment of the African-American population in this country. And people are really afraid and worried about what's going to happen in the next 4 years.
How often does that happen when people, again, this is a sort of a composed, this is a composition when you're writing a postcard. How often does it happen when people become emotional as they're trying to put this into words?
You know, Frank, it happens quite often, and I've thought a lot about it and have come to really conclude that it has partly to do with the way that I'm listening to them and the way that they feel really heard. It's not uncommon for someone to actually even burst into tears while they're dictating a postcard to the president at my desk. So it's quite a powerful exchange. And it's something that sort of keeps me going. You know, when I experience that response from someone, it makes me feel like, you know, I just have to keep typing.
Well, it's a powerful project. Maybe you should change the name to I Wish to Hear.
That's true.
Cheryl Orring is the creator of the I Wish to Say project. It's a performance art project. She's a professor of art at UNCG. Cheryl, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have links to her work at our website, stateofthings.org, and our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Charlie Sheldon Ormond, and Laura Pelliser. Robin Copley is the technical director, Brent Wolf, WNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.